Yes, if you don't get one, email me and remind me. I am happy to send you out the PDF of the dance floors so that you can build your own and make them. I can also send you the PDF of the other activity that I want to just spend a little bit of time on. But before I do that, questions? Any questions from what you just went through? What did you learn, discover? What was that like?
Have you done this with children?
Yeah.
You have.
They're great at it. It's actually a really helpful conflict resolution tool to walk through perspective taking. If you look in the packets that I gave you, the very last sheet in your packet are two handouts that I've often used with students. It frames this process by reminding them of the power that they have. So on the one hand, on the front side, I'm just going to look over your shoulder here. So the power to get to calm alert, right? This is about getting into a mindful observing frame. You have the power to get to calm alert. And then we give kids strategies for how they get themselves calmed down, regulated, and into a space of relaxed alertness. As teachers, I'm imagining you already know most of those strategies. That can be another workshop if you don't. The power to know what you need. So that's about giving them a literacy of their needs and asking questions about their needs and helping them get curious about their needs and seeing that as a power that they bring with them, the power to know what I need, and these are for you as well. The power to find ways to meet needs. So that's about getting the strategies more in alignment with the needs. The power to read feelings, mine and yours. Also, literacy of feelings. The power to observe, power to listen. Navigate the fault zone. If you don't have the No Fault Classroom by Sura Hart and Victoria, this is a really great elementary conflict resolution book with a lot of really great tools. It's about how you make your classroom a no-fault zone. And she has a game similar to that. It's a sheet. I gave it away. But there's all of the powers, a lot of strategies for helping them learn the different powers that they can have. And then in the back of this book, there are feeling cards and need cards that have pictures. So this is a really great resource for elementary. And Sura and Victoria also wrote The Compassionate Classroom. So if you need other handouts, this is another really useful book. Also with a lot of activities and a lot of worksheets and a lot of practical ways of working with kids, flashcards, to teach some of these skills. Okay. What else?
I have a question.
Yes.
I tend to use humor, if you couldn't tell. Even in a classroom situation, and as a parent and as a spouse, I find humor helpful. Not unkind humor,
yeah.
Not sarcasm,
yeah.
But just to sort of break that tension.
Yeah.
Is it appropriate to do it in this situation, like on the dance floor, with those sorts of things?
So remember,
it's
up to you. I like to use humor a lot. I also like to swear a lot. Some people don't like that very much. Some people get very offended by me. Yes. So I know that I match well with some people and I'm not a good match for some other people. And that's welcome to diversity. And I would say the same thing with humor. If you've got a high trust relationship and somebody knows you and they know where you're coming from, it can be a really nice way of diffusing and discharging stress in the nervous system. If somebody has been injured through sarcasm or derisive humor, they may have a little bit of sensitivity and woundedness, and it may not give you the impact that you're looking for. So the way to know whether something is or isn't the quote-unquote right thing or not is by attuning to the impact it's having and to trust yourself to adjust what you're doing if it's not having the impact you're intending. If my intention in using humor is to be playful and build connection, but what I'm discovering is that in this particular relational space, it's increasing stress and bracing against me, I just switch my strategy. I stop using humor and I try something else because humor isn't the right strategy to meet my need in this particular frame. In the same way that If I'm swearing and a group of people are beginning to look at me with wide eyes and they're all beginning to pull back, I may stop doing that. Because instead of neutralizing language, it's actually causing more anxiety in the room. And so I'm just not going to do that anymore because it's not the strategy that's meeting my need. The old way is to get hijacked by whether it's appropriate or inappropriate, or whether it's good or bad, or whether it's right or wrong. As if there's one answer for every situation for all people, and there never is. So if you trust your ability to attune to the impact, then you'll calibrate depending on what's needed, and you'll get your strategies aligned with whomever you're with. And that's the essence of working with. Cooperation. Working with whatever is in the space with me, as opposed to cooperation, you doing what I say. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
Okay, so there, in our work, we were coming up with what we felt, and you actually seconded, that what we were coming up with were strategies.
Yes.
And can you speak a little bit more about how,
I will. So what we are, our first awareness in a situation is what we think would help. And so we'll use language like, well, I need you to blah, 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 or I need them to blah, 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 or I need the system to, or, and so what's usually following I need, if it's you or them, is a strategy. And so you want to work with strategies because that's as aware as you are in that moment. So a good question to ask over and over and over is just work with it. And so if you were to get that, if I were to agree with everything you said for the next 5 years, now what need would get met? Well, then I would feel like you like me and I really need you to like me. Okay, and if I were to really like you, what need of yours would get met? Well, then I would feel confident that you're never going to leave me. All right, and if I never leave you, what need is going to get met? Well, I really want safety. Got it. Now we know what the need is. But we couldn't get to the need earlier on because we needed to go through the layers of the strategies to walk our way down to what the actual need was that was driving it. It wasn't in enough of our awareness. So work with it. I need you to, or I need them to, and then what need, and then what need, and then what need, until you come up with your one word. Oh, it's about inner peace. Ah, you're really longing for more harmony. You're longing for more predictability. I get it. You're really needing this experience of mattering. You want to know that you matter and that you're valued. Well, you're really seeking clarity. Okay, so then we get down to the level of the need. And then we can have a much wider range of strategies that might meet that need other than the one we grabbed onto first. The other thing I hear a lot is, I feel like and I feel that. I feel like, I feel that 99% of the time, unless you're being poetic, is going to tell you about my narrative and my thinking. I feel like you don't like me. Okay, and if you think that I don't like you, what might you be feeling? Well, I feel like you're always controlling me. And if you think that I'm controlling you all the time, what might you be feeling? Well, I just feel that you're just such a controlling bitch. Okay? Okay, so when you think of me as a controlling bitch, how are you feeling? You work with, you don't take anything personally. You don't take it personally, it's not about you. It's very hard, I know. But again, you work with it and you begin to watch for it. There's also a long list of faux feelings on my website on the resources page. I have a lot of workshop handouts at the very bottom. And there's a list there of all of the words that we think are feelings. And these are not feelings. Disrespected is not a feeling. Disrespected is what I think you're doing to me. If I think that you don't respect me, I might feel frustrated. I might feel hurt. Attacked is not a feeling. Attacked is an evaluation of what I think you're doing to me. If I think you are attacking me, I might feel hurt and vulnerable. If I think you are rejecting me, I might feel. If I think you're leaving me out, I might feel. If I think you have abandoned me, I might feel. None of those are feelings. Those are all evaluations of what is happening to you. And when you use that language, you're stuck in victim consciousness. It'll be harder for you not to take it personally and to come from an empowered place when you're experiencing yourself as being at the mercy of what people are doing to you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. So there's just a little bit more on feelings and needs. Control is not a need. Time is not a need. Money is not a need. Agreement is not a need. These are all strategies designed to get at deeper needs. So you'll start, as you start playing with this, you'll find all of the places where your language is really still in thinking. Thank you. In thinking, and then you just keep finding those places where you start translating into more pure feeling and needs language underneath. All right, let's do something a little bit playful for about 10 minutes. I'm going to number you off again, and you're going to play with these cards on your table. And each of you is going to take what we think of as a hard-to-hear message that you've heard in a school, something that a student has said to you, or that a parent or a coworker has said to you that you did not enjoy hearing, okay? And let's say that I'm working with this group. So I'm going to give you this one. 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 And so you're going to be five people in a group. So my turn first, I'm going to use the judgmental statement that I don't have any idea what to do with. And my judgmental statement is, you are the worst teacher at the school. Okay? You're going to respond by hearing blame and blaming me back.
Well, you're the worst parent in the school.
Yes. You're going to respond by being my inner voice that turns on me. You hear criticism, and then you criticize yourself.
You're right. I am the worst teacher in the school.
Exactly. You're going to be me, and you're going to connect to what I might be feeling and needing when I hear that. Now, these ones are harder, so I'll help you.
Thank God.
The person with the green one is going to say, I'm really feeling, what might I really be feeling
what
in that moment?
What I'm feeling when I hear that,
yep.
Or what you're feeling when you say it?
Nope, what I'm feeling when I hear it.
Okay. I feel horrified.
Yes, I'm feeling horrified, and I'm needing.
And I need you to, I need to hear. I need to hear some love from you. I need to hear...
I'm really longing for more appreciation.
Oh, I can say that?
This is not saying it out loud. This is just connecting internally.
Oh.
I'm feeling horrified and I'm needing safety. I'm feeling shock and I'm needing some space. I'm feeling surprised and I'm needing some choicefulness around whether I engage further or not. What's up for me in that moment?
Okay.
And then this one, thank you for doing that. You're now going to empathize with the person who said it. So if I were to say to you, you are the worst teacher at the school, and you're going to now translate that and empathize with me, what am I feeling and needing?
I am hearing you say that you're not satisfied. Well, that's not feeling.
Are you feeling, go like this.
Fearful that your child isn't getting what he or she needs.
Are you feeling afraid and really needing some trust that we've got the best interests of your child at heart? Got it? Okay, then we're all going to switch. Then we're going to switch. We're going to go around. And then the next person is going to give a sentence, and you're going to do a round. These are the four choices you have in how you take any message. Does that make sense? Whatever they say, you can hear it as blame, and you can blame them back. You can hear it as criticism and take it personally, and you can turn on yourself. You can take a time out and really deeply connect with your own feelings and needs in that moment and bring yourself back online before you respond. And you can switch your focus and hear what they might be trying to tell you about their feelings and needs in their very tragic, self-sabotaging way. And so you're just going to do a couple of rounds with those four ways of listening. So let's count off by fives.
One, two, three, four, five.
One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. One, two.
Yeah, somebody said it's not going to work, and they're absolutely right. I always get that wrong. So we have to count off by fours. 19. We have to count off by fours. Just get into groups of five wherever you are and circle around. And if you're not exactly the right number, punt. Okay, 10 minutes.
Do we have our statements or we just come up with our
Come up with your own statements.